From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues the series in the book of Joshua as he brings part two of a message entitled A Warning Against the Sin of Presumption. First of all, please enjoy this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning.
This morning's text is found in Zechariah chapter 3 and verse 1. Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord. In Joshua the high priest, we see a picture of each and every child of God who has been made nigh by the blood of Christ and has been taught to minister in holy things and to enter into that which is within the veil. Jesus has made us priests and kings unto God. And even here upon earth we exercise the priesthood of consecrated living and hallowed service. But this high priest is said to be standing before the angel of the Lord, that is, standing to minister. This should be the perpetual position of every true believer. Every place is now God's temple, and His people can as truly serve Him in their daily employments as in His house. They are to be always ministering, offering the spiritual sacrifice of prayer and praise, and presenting themselves as a living sacrifice. But notice where it is that Joshua stands to minister. It is before the angel of Jehovah. It is only through a mediator that we poor defiled ones can ever become priests unto God. I present what I have before the messenger, the angel of the covenant, the Lord Jesus, and through Him my prayers find acceptance wrapped up in His prayers. My praises become sweet as they are bound up with bundles of myrrh and aloes and cassia from Christ's own garden. If I can bring Him nothing but my tears, He will put them with His own tears in His own bottle, for He once wept. If I can bring Him nothing but my groans and sighs, He will accept these as an acceptable sacrifice. For He once was broken in heart, and sighed heavily in spirit. I myself, standing in Him, am accepted in the Beloved, and all my polluted works, though in themselves only objects of divine abhorrence, are so received that God smelleth a sweet savor. He is content, and I am blessed. See then the position of the Christian, a priest, standing before the angel of the Lord.
I must needs go home by the way on the cross. There's no other way but this. I shall there get sight of the gates of light if the way of the cross I miss. The way of the cross leads home. The
Soon it will be the time of year when the thoughts of God's people turn with special emphasis to the miracle of the Incarnation, the incomprehensible truth of Emmanuel, God with us. The Apostle John wrote, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Joseph was told, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." To assist you in meditating upon the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into the world, we're happy to offer a unique publication called The 12 Days of Christmas, written by Roger Ellsworth, an experienced minister and writer. The 12 Days of Christmas is a small paperback book containing 24 devotions, each including a short scripture reading, several paragraphs, and a concluding "But to Think About" section that draws lines of application from the text to modern-day life. The book is intended to help the hearts and minds of believers to focus on the wonder of the Incarnation, as well as to encourage unbelievers to come in repentance and faith to Christ. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make this inspirational booklet available free of charge to our listening audience. You may have a copy simply by contacting us by phone, email, or regular mail. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write, "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We encourage you to request your free copy of The 12 Days of Christmas while supplies last. Joshua chapter 7, verses 2 through 12, Dr. Cairns is showing how Joshua and the army of Israel fell victim to an all-too-prevalent sin among God's people. Forgetting that it was the Lord who had given the victory over Jericho, Joshua and his warriors presumed that they could make short work of Ai without bothering to seek God's guidance and help. Their sin was essentially the sin of pride, which is the root of presumption. Today, we'll see that presumption is characterized by prayerlessness. The lesson which God's people need to take to heart is that one cannot do God's work without constant prayer. Now, here is Dr. Cairns to continue this message, a warning against the sin of presumption.
I want us to focus on this lesson as I raise to you what God has raised to me. That is a warning against the sin of presumption. Let me note first of all that presumption is rooted in pride. We read in verse 3 that they returned to Joshua and said unto him, "Let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither. For they are but few." Is the voice of pride. Their thinking is very clear. If we defeated Jericho with such ease, surely we're not going to have any difficulty with this little city of Ai. Now, of course, intellectually they knew that it was the Lord who had given them that victory at Jericho, and they presumed, of course, that He would do the same again, even though they had not bothered to seek His face about it and get His guidance about it and find out about the sin that had come into their midst. They simply presumed on the presence, favor, and power of God. You know, of all pride, I don't think there's any pride worse than pride of grace. You might ask, what is pride of grace? Well, in the context that we have been reading, pride of grace is to presume upon God's grace, to graduate from a humble dependence on Him to a proud reliance on self with an arrogant certainty that we will prevail even though we have paid scant attention to personal holiness. That was the proud sin of the men of Israel. And we have many other examples of it in Scripture. I suppose the most famous example would be that of Samson, who had known such mighty interventions of God in his life and through his strong right arm. He had seen God do great and glorious things. And so he got used to the blessing of God. He got used to the movings of God. And when he went forward against the Philistines, he presumed he would have the power. He presumed he would have the blessing, forgetting that he'd been lying in the lap of Delilah and being lost out with God. What presumption! We see the same sin at various times in the history of the children of Israel. I can't think of a more outrageous example than that period in the history of the people of Israel, especially the southern kingdom of Judah, immediately after the fall of Jerusalem. Now, try and get the picture. 100 years before, Isaiah had prophesied the doom that would come upon an unrepentant nation. Then came Jeremiah. And for a long period of time, Jeremiah kept prophesying. They tried to shut him up. They threw him in jail. They threatened his life. They called him a traitor and a liar. But the prophet went on and on. The king cut up the message that he wrote out by the hand of Barak from God. But God gave it with even more added to it. They couldn't get away from this truth. If you go on in sin, you're going into captivity. There came the time when Jeremiah had to change the message and tell them, there's no if about it. No matter what happens now, you are going into captivity. There is no turning back. And of course, there came the time when it all was fulfilled. The Babylonian armies overthrew the kingdom of Judah. Of course, the king of Babylon left a smattering of people behind. He left some people in the land. And Ezekiel, one of the captives, a prophet of God to the captivity, Ezekiel had to speak about the attitude of the people who were in the land of Israel, that desolated land. And in chapter 33, 24 and 25, this is the message. Son of man, they that inhabit those wastes of the land of Israel speak. And what are they saying? We have sinned and we have come under the awful judgment of God and we need to get right with God. No, sir. That was not what they were saying. We have turned aside to idolatry and folly, but now we must get right with God, the God of our fathers. No, that's not what they were saying. They were saying, Abraham was one, and he inherited the land, but we are many. And the land is given us for an inheritance. Now I want you to get what they're saying. They are saying we are the children of Abraham. God gave us this land. You can dispense with everything that Isaiah said. You can forget about everything that Jeremiah said. You can seek to shut the mouth of Ezekiel. We are in this land as the people of God, with the blessing of God. That was what they were saying. God said, wherefore say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, ye eat with the blood, and lift up your eyes toward your idols, and shed blood, and shall ye possess the land? Driven out as a nation, but just what Isaiah called the gleaning of grapes, just a few here and there, left in the land, they were still boasting that they would possess it. What utter pride. Presumption is rooted in pride. And that pride of grace is always a danger to God's people. It was the curse of the church at Laodicea. They said, we're rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, knowing not that they were really wretched and miserable, poor and blind and naked. We are rich. We are increased with goods. We have the money to operate as a church. We have the numbers to operate as a church. We have the personnel on staff to operate as a church. We have the influence to operate as a church. We have everything it takes. We have talent. We have people. We have all that the world can give us. We are rich. We are increased. We are a thriving church. And I would have to say to you that by the standards of 20th century America, the church in Laodicea would be counted one of the great success stories. This could well be one of your mega churches of the day. But God says, you're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Any time we get away from the feet of Christ, any time we cease to feel our own weakness and need, any time we try to do God's work on merely earthly principles and merely in carnal ways, we are in danger of sinning the sin of presumption. That's why David prayed in the 19th Psalm, verse 13, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Presumption is rooted in pride. But secondly, presumption is revealed by prayerlessness and by carelessness. The Bible reading of today leads us to a startling conclusion. As I pointed out, the children of Israel, even Joshua, and I must say that shocks me, for to me Joshua is one of the giants of Scripture. That makes the warning even more startling. But even Joshua did not pray about the battle of Ai until after Israel's initial failure. He didn't think that there was any threat. There was no need to pray. It was all easy. So he went up without prayer, and that is a sure sign of presumption. It's a sin that the children of Israel found difficult to deal with. They were very prone to this. They made the same mistake sometime later when the Gibeonites came up to them with a far-fetched story, seeking to enter into a league with them so that they wouldn't have to fight Israel and be defeated. And instead of praying about it, and instead of seeking the Lord and finding out what the truth of this matter was, we read Joshua 9:14, the men took of their victuals and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. Prayerlessness is the expression of presumption. You see, faith always expresses itself by waiting on the Lord. I contrast David at a very vital time in his life and service with that of Israel here. If you read in 2 Samuel 5, verses 18 and 19, and then later in 22 to 25, you'll find there was a time when the Philistines came up against David and they spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of the Lord, "Shall I go up to the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into mine hand?" The Lord said, "Go up." And he got a victory. But they came up again. Now the most natural thing in the world, if David were to do or to have done what Joshua and his people did, he would immediately have gone out against them. That's the logic we would have to follow. The enemy's back in the land, so we must go out against him. But David had learned the lesson of waiting on God. And so when the Philistines came up yet again and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim, David did not argue, "Well, they're right where I had them before. These are the tactics that succeeded before. This is the way we got the victory. They were easy prey the first time, and they'll be easy prey this time." That's not how he thought. No. David inquired of the Lord. And this time the Lord said, "Thou shalt not go up." And what a defeat David would have had if he had gone up. "Thou shalt not go up." He saved himself a lot of trouble. He saved the lives of many of his men as he waited on God, and the Lord told him the best way this time is not to go up against them, but he told him to fetch a compass behind them and come upon them over against the mulberry trees and then wait. "When you hear the sound of the going among the mulberry trees, then go against them." Had Joshua done that? Had he waited on God? Had he gone up to the Lord before Ai to say, "Lord, how do we do this? Will you be among us? Will you deliver them into our hand?" Achan's sin would have been discovered before one Israelitish life had been lost. The awful debacle at Ai would have been avoided. You see, we cannot do the work of God without constant prayer. And there's no more dangerous time for us when we must realize this than after we have had a major victory. I used to have experiences as a young man, and I would often wonder, how does this happen? That after some great triumph, I would fall flat on my face. After getting to a place where I thought, "Well, by the grace of God, I've broken through to a new level, to a new experience, to a new power with God, to new usefulness, to new ability to get answers to prayer." And just when it seemed I was coming into that large land, suddenly I would fall flat in my face. I had to learn by bitter experience what Joshua had to learn by similarly bitter experience, that we can't do the work of God without constant prayer. That's why I often tell you to be careful of that sweet sounding old hymn, "Yield not to temptation." I love that part of it. That is true. "Yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin." But let me tell you, it is utterly fallacious to say each victory will help you some other to win. Yesterday's victory will do nothing to help you to win today's battle unless you're in constant touch with God.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.